You make this rather snappy, won't you? I have some very heavy thinking to do before 10 o'clock.
Hey, welcome to Get It Right Texoma. Once again, with the Texoma Trio, I'm Mike Hendren, Terry McAdams, Trey Sorala. They're in there. How is everybody today? How you guys doing?
Oh, you got that shirt.
I got the pink. Yes.
It's one of those under the right lighting, it'd be one of those make your eyes go funny.
Yeah.
Remember those art pieces that you look at and you'd stare at it and let it go blurry, and then you'd see like Mickey Mouse or something like that?
Space shuttle. I got the space shuttle.
There's Mickey Mouse in Mike's shirt somewhere there or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's one that's floating around Facebook right now. If you squint, you're either seeing John Wick or Jesus. I can't decide quite which one it is.
Have you seen it's like a photo, a real photo, and people are positioned in such a way, if you do the squint thing, you see Jesus or you see something.
It's the same thing.
It's weird. It's a real photo of people doing something.
Yes, that's what this is. It's one of those, it's like two women at a table at a restaurant or something, and you squint. It's weird. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. Some people got way too much time on their hands.
Who figured that out?
Yeah. Way too much time. I'm sure they did it with some kind of computer program or something, you know. But anyway.
AI, once again.
Anyway, this podcast being brought to you by Eddie Hills Fun Cycles, 401 North Scott, downtown Wichita Falls. MacTech Solutions at 4020 Ray Road in Wichita Falls. MacTech-Solutions.com. Also by Lolly and Pop Sweet Shop online at LPSweet.com and on Facebook as well. In fact, we are in the MacTech Solutions podcast studios. That's where this is recorded each week. And we thank you for joining us. Have a nice day. We'll see you. No, I'm kidding. We're not done yet. We're just getting started. That's
it. But that's all.
Yeah. We just hello, goodbye, I must be going or whatever. Anyway, okay. The Parks and Recreation After School Fishing is happening April 30, May 2nd, May 7th, May 9th, 4:30 to 6:30 each evening at South Weeks Pond here in Wichita Falls. Kids 5 through 16 get expert instruction from Parks and Wildlife.
Does it every time it's the same thing, or are they? Is it a starts on the 30th and then
no,
ends?
No, it's every time.
It's a one-shot little class you go through.
Yeah, okay. It's fishing.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not
fishing 101 where you're, you know, getting...
Yeah, I mean, okay. you're fishing in a pond. I mean, it can't be that complicated.
Okay, all right.
You throw the line in, you reel it in.
Bill Dance is not coming out to give the instructions.
Exactly. Right?
A couple hours. Okay, cool.
Yeah, they're not taking
I probably
boat,
need this because I haven't fished in years.
You don't know how to sit the drag, huh?
No, probably don't know how to drag. Yeah,
yeah. Well, they
drag or anything. Yes, I don't want to know that either.
We don't want to see that either. Anyway, tell you how to.
There are pictures on the internet.
Teach you how to set the drag, reel in the fish, land the fish. How to do the whole thing. You can bring your own equipment, bring your own fishing pole, rod, and reel, or they'll have loaners that they can supply.
BYOP.
That's right.
Yes.
BYOP or BOIOT tackle.
Oh, tackle.
Bring your own tackle. That's what it's called in the fishing world.
Yes. There we go.
In the fishing biz.
Oh, yeah.
And then, but be sure to get there early. If you don't have tackle, be sure to get there early because there's going to be a limited number of poles.
That is true.
Otherwise, then, you might have to go catch a piece of cane and be like Andy Griffith, you know, walking to the pond.
Have you ever tried actually fishing with a cane pole?
Yes, I have. Yeah, and a bobber.
It's a little tricky.
Yeah, there's not much to it.
There's not much to it, and there's I'm gonna tell you something. If you actually catch something on it, which I did, good luck, because you ain't got nothing to reel with.
Yeah, you just gotta land it.
You're on your own.
Well, usually you're fishing with a cane pole. You're not fishing out deep sea fishing with a cane pole. So it's
no.
You know, you're just like in a little tank or something.
I'm gonna tell you something. A little 2-pound bass on a cane pole might as well be a whale.
I'm sure it is. Yeah,
might as well be a whale.
Most of my fishing would never get into the pounds. It was always in the ounces.
Usually
a little sunfish or perch or something like that, and a few ounces or gar. God, I used to catch gar all the time.
I tell you, first of all, they're an invasive species.
Yeah.
I think
they're full of bones. There are people that eat gar. I've never eaten gar.
Yeah. Not a lot of work for very little gain.
That's right.
Very little. Saturday, May the 4th, we've got coming up the Cassie Chili event at Eddie Hills Fun Cycles. That's the Chili Appreciation Society International. And this is going to be in support of benefiting Pets, the local low-cost spay, neuter, and other animal services clinic.
That's right. Because they're 501c3. Yeah. They're a nonprofit organization, and so they help. You can go and get some veterinarian work done, some basic stuff done at a low cost if you need to get some animals spayed and neutered, and be sure to spay and neuter your animals.
Yes. Yes.
And what time is that from?
Yes.
So we're doing something different here. The chili cook-off, I think the turn-in is about 1 o'clock for the Cassie cooks.
Mm.
So the Cassie cooks are going to know. But we're going to have this year, we're going to have taster chili.
Yes.
Ah.
So, and it's going to be from, I believe, 11 to 12:30. You can come by, and for a donation, you could get a little cup, and you could go by and sample these chilies with these cooks. And I think we're going to do like 5 tastes for a cup. Okay. So in other words, you'll get a cup, and you'll get tickets or something like that. But the cool thing is you'll get to vote for People's Choice Award.
Ah.
So you don't have to be a regular judge to vote. Yeah. We're all going to judge.
Right.
So you guys don't do the taster, the People's Choice thing, because otherwise you'll be full of chili.
Yeah.
You're already full of shit, but now you're going to be full of chili, too. So, so this is for the public. If you want to come out, and you get to taste some wonderful chilies, and then you get to vote for a People's Choice Award, and that's going to be we're going to tell you how to judge. When you judge a Cassie contest, it's very specific. The rules, the way you judge, and everything are very specific. Yes. This is just going to be whether you like it, who you like the best.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. So this is going to be good. And if you've never been to a Cassie chili cook-off, first of all, the worst one there is pretty good, and but they're all good. It's hard, and you judge each one on its own merits.
Right.
But for me, it's hard to give one a low score because it's like, man, these are all so good. I wish I could cook chili like this.
There's never been. I've had cooks that I've judged that the lowest score I've given was a 7.
Wow.
Out of 10. That the lowest score I gave was a 7. But they tell you, don't judge. Don't say this was better than that one. Just give your score each one.
Everybody,
that's why they have multiple judges, because then they tabulate.
Right.
But
right.
If you just want to come out and look around, it's really cool. The people that cook at these, they're super friendly people. They enjoy it. It's a very social event. And a lot of them have like whole setups where you can watch them cook, and they've got, their little pop-up tent and all sorts of stuff. It's a really neat little experience. So if you get a chance, come on out. It doesn't cost you a nickel. But if you do want to do some tasting, do bring something. I mean, we're not, it's all going for charity. So it'll be a donation. I don't know what the amount will be. It's not going to be very much. But if you want to do some taster chili and vote for a People's Choice Award, come on out.
Well, moving on to something here local. Wichita County is on the hunt for a new auditor.
Yeah.
We don't know exactly what the current status is of the current auditor.
Yeah, this is an interesting thing, and I have not reached out to Mark or Mickey or anything like that, and I was going to, and I just I ran out of time last night.
Yeah,
to see if there was any official comment.
Right.
So, from what my understanding is, the current auditor, there has been some questions and some discussions, and I've heard that some have gotten heated between county commissioners and the current auditor, who's only been in the position for a fairly short period of time.
Okay.
And the discussions have been based over some paychecks and some invoices that have been delayed on being paid and approved to be paid. And so all of a sudden, the county commissioners, they've posted the job for auditor. Well, this lady apparently is still the auditor. It's a strange deal. She was appointed by, it's an elected position, but she was appointed.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
The current auditor was appointed to fulfill someone else's term, or
exactly. And so now that position is open again. But as far as I know, that lady's still the auditor. So it's kind of like somebody posting your job while you still have the job, and you're like going,
And I'm guessing the auditor's job for the county would not be much different than an auditor's job would be for a private company.
I would assume so. Yeah. I don't know.
Pretty much
I don't
the same kinds of duties.
Well, according to this. Right now,
yep, there we go.
Cheryl Jones is her name, and she was apparently, let's see, she went into the private sector where she did tax work for 10 years before returning to the county in August of 2020. So she's been, interesting.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't think she's officially resigned. You can pull the article up, but I don't think she's officially resigned. And but
yeah. Yeah, here's
yeah, there we go.
Okay, so open until filled. The new auditor will be appointed by the three district judges in the county. So it is elected or not elected?
I believe it's an elect. I believe it's an elected position.
Hmm.
We could get some more information, but I believe it's an elected position. But she was. She filled that position or was appointed for that position.
Okay.
Anyhow.
All right.
Yeah.
Just thought it was pretty interesting that there've been a little bit of some issues down there at the county, and so they're hoping to. So by the way, if you're watching this and you have want to be a county auditor,
yeah, it pays.
What was it pay?
Up to $118,000.
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Cheryl Jones was, according to this article from KFDX, was hired in August 2020 at a salary of just over $107,000. So you don't necessarily get the.
I'm not cheap, but I can be bought.
Yeah. and Mike's got a calculator, and he has a pen. But if you have a calculator and pocket protector, will that just?
I will have the coolest pocket protector you have ever seen in your life.
Anyhow, so there is some dissension in the county.
Yeah.
And, you know, once again, all we want to do on this kind of stuff is we don't want to comment things that we don't know about enough, but we're just letting people know.
Right, right.
Yeah. Well, obviously, yeah. And we just have reported facts.
Yeah, and they're looking for a new – so Wichita County is looking for a new county auditor, but as far as I know, the other county auditor has not resigned yet.
Right.
That's what I'm reading.
Right. Yeah.
So we'll I'll reach out to Mickey Fincannon or Mark Beecham or somebody at Barry and get a little bit more details.
A little more on that. Want to move on here to talk about the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. The articles of impeachment against him. There were two articles of impeachment against him brought by the House. Both were deemed unconstitutional by the Senate. They had alleged that Mayorkas engaged in the willful and systemic refusal to comply with the law regarding the southern border in his capacity as DHS secretary. The second one claimed that he had breached the public trust. I'm assuming votes were along party lines.
They were party line votes. Yeah, here's the thing, though. Yeah. At one time, the Senate wasn't even going to – Chuck Schumer wasn't even going to allow them to even have the managers, the impeachment managers, come in and even present a case. And there were senators on both sides of the aisle that said, wait a minute, we've never done that. If the House has taken the time, it's almost like you almost have an obligation –
To hear the case,
even if you already know I'm going to vote against party lines and whatever,
right.
You know, because the House has gone through this machinations of coming up with these impeachment articles,
yes,
and supposedly they've heard enough evidence. You know, I know that it gets very political, obviously, but at one time Schumer was talking about not even allowing the impeachment managers to speak. And at least they had hearings, and then they went, okay, yeah, we're going to vote against vote down party lines.
Well, I got to tell you, when you look at the situation on the border, you look at what's happening, you look at what's not happening, you look at how things are being handled, it is pretty easy to sit here and go, yeah, this guy sucks at his job.
Yeah.
It really is. I think he may be the most incapable secretary DHS has had since its inception 22 years ago.
He is
probably one of, I do not see anything from this guy to me that reflects a desire to fix what's broken. Now, I don't know if that's because he's really that incapable or his marching orders from the White House are.
That's it. Yeah, we just don't know.
You don't do anything unless we put our rubber stamp on it.
That's what we don't know. That's we don't know if it's Mayorkas who's ignoring the laws and the rules, or if he's being told by the White House to ignore the laws and rules.
And I don't know if we'll ever totally get to the bottom of what's what here. We may never know the whole truth.
He does kind of look like a spoon, like a plastic spoon.
He does.
Just saying. That's not impeachable. But
I'll never get that out of my head now.
Yeah, but if he looks like a plastic spoon, if you hold a plastic spoon, he's kind of built like that plastic spoon.
So the next time he's on TV, get a plastic spoon.
And hold it right up there and draw some little eyes on it. You'll be Mayorkas.
And there's Mayorkas.
Yeah, it's...
You have your own interview with Mayorkas, right?
But no matter what, it's criminal what's going on at the border.
Totally.
And look, it's not just criminal from the standpoint of you're allowing illegals to come into the United States.
That's right.
See, like I'm saying, he looks like a spoon, doesn't he? He's shaped like a spoon, a plastic spoon.
Okay.
So we're looking at a picture here. But it's criminal because what we're doing is we're empowering the cartels to human traffic and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. What we're allowing people to do to other people by this this crazy lack of borders that we have.
It's awful.
It's crazy with the remain in Mexico. If you were from like Honduras. And you wanted to come to America, and you knew that you were going to have to stay in Mexico. Well, you might not come to America. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's from Cuba?
Yeah, I just saw that. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, but so you might not come to America, but now that you know that it's an open border, you're going to do everything you can. And now a cottage industry has popped up with these cartels of human trafficking, and basically they get people across the border. Hey, you pay me such amount to get you across the border, or you're going to owe me when I get over there. And by the way, I know where you live and I know your family. So you're going to pay up, sucker.
Well, yeah. It'd be one thing if this was following the law, but it's not. There is no law. In fact, it's completely opposite. You're supposed to enforce the law, which is supposed to make it difficult for people to go through the process. I mean, that's what you want. You need a process. And so just for that,
that's crazy. I'm so sick of this shit about we're a country of immigrants. Yes, legal immigrants.
Yeah.
And there's nobody who's saying no legal immigrants, but do it the right way.
Right, because if you had a process, even if it was fairly simple, even if it was by law, if Congress decided, hey, this is what we want to do, and we all fought it out fairly and squarely, and then that other side won and made it easier, that's fine. I mean, that we don't like it, but, you know, it's following the law, right?
As long as through the due process.
Right. And then you're not going to – you're going to have people probably a business, an industry, probably more legitimate that in this case because it is – you're breaking the law now.
Yeah.
We can charge people. Look, they're just letting people across. We'll help you out.
Well, and I've heard people arguing, you know, trying to argue his case and say, well, but you have to understand there's just such overwhelming numbers of people at the border.
Yeah, because the policy they have been doing.
Exactly. So. They know we're not enforcing existing law.
Right.
They know we're not taking extraordinary steps to physically protect our border. And therefore, they're exploiting that. And the word's getting out south of the border and south of of the Mexican border into Central America and other places. And clearly, globally, the word is out.
Exactly. Yeah, hey, yeah, I was going to say Africa and
that's we've got
people
China.
From the African continent, from at least three different countries on the African continent. You've got people from China. You've got people from the Middle East, from Syria, from Iraq, from Iran. You've got people from all over the world that are making their way to Mexico. That's not happening for free, folks. They're not just, you know, Scotty's not teleporting people to Mexico.
Right.
Somebody is sponsoring them. Somebody is paying for them to fly either into Central America, and then they're getting transported into Mexico, or somebody's flying them directly into Mexico, and then the cartels are making sure that they get to the border. And you see people walking across the border, well-dressed, clean, clearly well-fed. They obviously have not hiked thousands of miles to get here.
No, it doesn't look like when you talk about refugees and you look at you use Syria as a good example. You look at the Syrian revolution and some of those revolutions where you have miles and miles of people, beleaguered people with just everything they own or everything they could carry on their back or dragging a wagon, and they're just trying to make it to the next border Some of the Palestinians are that way. They're just trying to get the hell out of there, mm-hmm. type thing, trying to get to Egypt or whatnot. And that they look beleaguered. They don't look. They're not. Hey, high fiving and walking with purpose and all that sort of thing. Yeah, the remain in Mexico policy when Joe Biden, and it was Joe Biden. No mistake about it. He's the one who signed the executive order.
That's right.
When they rescinded that remain in Mexico policy, that was probably the best immigration policy at the time, stopgap immigration policy we had. Mm-hmm. Look, we need to fix our immigration system. We need a broad scale immigration system fix. I'm going to be honest with you. I have family members who are still waiting in line. My sister-in-law applied for a visa in 2010.
14 years ago.
Yes.
14 yes. years ago.
And she still hasn't even gotten an interview yet.
Wow.
And it was a family visa because my wife's an American citizen.
Yeah.
So she applied for her sister.
Wow.
Yeah. And so that hasn't even moved yet. It hasn't moved at all in about the last 5 years. It hasn't moved. The numbers haven't moved at all.
And you know, it's gotta be really frustrating for somebody. And I know you and I have had this conversation privately about your wife's frustration over watching this because she went through the process legally. She did everything she was supposed to do.
How long did it take her legally. To get through?
Probably 4 years and about $10,000.
Yeah. But it's got to be frustrating for anybody who's sitting in line waiting, doing it the right way, to watch the news and see hordes of people just walking across the border and know that the guy in charge of Homeland Security isn't doing squat about it, to know that the administration in charge isn't doing anything about it, to watch the officials who are supposed to be in charge of the whole situation doing absolutely nothing that they should be doing. That has got to be frustrating as hell.
It is. And not only that, it's overwhelming our resources.
Look, big time.
If I could wave a magic wand and wipe out poverty all over the world and make everybody play nice, I would do that. But that's not reality.
Nope.
But the reality is we are Americans and we pay taxes. Mm-hmm. Okay? So our money needs to go to our people first.
Yep. And our veterans.
Right.
Yeah, well, our people, Americans.
Right. But I'm just
Americans
saying.
First. Yeah, they need to go to Americans first. So what we're having now is you have inner cities. You have places that we have American citizens that are living in poverty, that are growing further into poverty, and they're not getting the resources, the government resources, because they're being taken up by illegal immigrants.
Well, yeah. Well, and I'll tell you, and that
illegal aliens.
That's a whole other topic right there.
It is. It's ridiculous.
Part of the reason that we still have poverty in this country, however you want to describe poverty, part of the reason we still have it in this country is there are people who profit from it.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are people who are profiting from other people, American citizens, not being able to rise above where they are. There are people that are still profiting from that. And the reason that you have some of the abject poverty in other parts of the world that you have is because there are people who are profiting from that.
Yeah.
They're profiting from the suffering of other people. So they don't want other people to have anything. So, again, this is why I keep saying over and over again, and I will never not say this, communism is a cancer, period. Communism is designed to do one thing and one thing only, and that is control people. It is putting the maximum amount of control on as many people as you possibly can, as quickly as you possibly can. That's what communism does. It's a control mechanism. At least in our system, you have some hope, number one, of being a free, thinking, functioning, capitalist individual who can make your own way. You don't have that hope in many parts of the world.
Right.
Because it is deliberately withheld from you. Yeah. Because someone is profiting from you not being able to do those things. So we can have a whole other discussion on that. But this border situation, we have got to get, I have to wonder, really, guys, have we already reached a point of no return in some respects?
No, I don't think there's anything such as that. I think there's always hope. But it's going to have to be the action's going to have to be swift.
Yeah.
It's going to have to be very, we're going to have to clamp things down pretty hard.
But think about this. Let's say that tomorrow, you know, or whenever, say Trump wins, we can hope that, that Trump will win and implement his policy back yet again. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be screaming, yelling for that fact alone. Mm-hmm. But then how politically, how will it fly to start taking the people who have been here for all these years and start moving them out?
Well, all these years, though, that, we're not talking about all these years. There's a difference between people who have been here 20, 30 years and people that came in the last decade. Right. Trump's already said he's going to he'll appoint Tom Holman as ICE, director of ICE, and he's already said we're going to have massive deportations.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. Someone who's been in the country for 30 years and they've established a life here, I'm a lot less likely to say you boot them out than I am the guy who got here last Thursday.
First in, first out.
So here's the deal. Before you can even start to have a meaningful discussion about deportations, you've got to fix the problem of people getting into the country illegally in the first place.
Yep.
And that requires, and I've been saying this for years, you've got to have a multi-pronged approach. You've got to have a physical barrier, your walls and fences. You've got to have more people. You've got to recruit more people into border security so that you've got more eyes and boots on the ground. You've got to employ technology.
Yep.
You've got to, we have, for crying out loud, we have drones that can fly at, you know, 80,000 feet in the air and take a crystal clear picture of something. I've been talking about drone technology.
Well, and my cameras on my house can identify a human and a pet. Apparently
ghosts too.
Well, and ghosts, we get the little ghosts down.
Remember who was it that ran for president? It was like strategic fencing, assets in the air, and boots on the ground.
Oh, that was our former
Rick Perry. Yeah, and I've said for years, I think that we ought to have drones flying sorties, unmanned drones flying sorties,
and you could have
along the Mexican border, and all of a sudden, you know, you see people dropping or going across illegally. I think you have non-lethal interjection, and you start shooting beanbag bullets and rubber bullets and stuff as they're trying to, before they get into the water on their side. Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm saying we ought to go patrol their side too. To hell with this crap. This is an invasion. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's like Mexico, either you fix it or we're going to fix it. I've said it for years. I think we ought to send our military in. We sent our military into Iraq and Afghanistan. Why? Why aren't we sending our military into Mexico and saying, look, we don't want to hurt any Mexican citizens. Telling the Mexican government, we don't give a shit. We're not asking your permission. We're telling you, please keep your army and your military away because we do not want to have conflict with your people. But we're going after the cartels. We're going after the people that are muling people
over. Was there not conversations about that? I think our own congressman, Ronnie Jackson, had brought this up about, you know, the possibility of using our military.
The only person I've heard say Ron DeSantis. The only person on the national stage I've heard say is
but
Ron DeSantis.
It's like there was a conversation, I thought, starting on that, and then it just died.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, no one's talking about it anymore.
Yeah, well, the only person I heard... And I heard Ron DeSantis say it several times during his presidential campaign. Whether you like Ron DeSantis or not like Ron DeSantis, he was the one person that I watched him and said, he said over and over, we need to use our military to start taking care of this situation and military in Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah.
We want to be, here's the thing, we want to be good neighbors with Mexico.
Well, sure.
And Mexico can be really great neighbors. Right now, they're not being good neighbors.
Either one of us can pick up and just move somewhere else all that
They're
easily,
not being good neighbors because their government is allowing this to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and if their government can't handle this, then we need to step in. We can handle this.
Yes.
We've proven it all over the world.
Yeah.
Over decades and decades, we can handle situations if we have to.
Yep.
And so if we're capable of handling it, we need to go in and we need to tell Mexico, look, this is what we want to do. And they say no. And say, okay, now we're not asking.
Yeah,
it's one of those deals. It's when you tell somebody, look, I want to do this, and you're determined you're going to do it, and you're just trying to sell them on the idea, and then they say no, and you go, okay, well, here's my reasons why. No, and they go, okay, now I'm doing it. I'm not asking you. So you can either get out of the way or get run over.
Well, that's like in your business and on my business. It would be ideal that we talk to our employees and try to get their support. They're inherently help them understand why we're going to do something.
Yeah.
They're apparently not going to be a question of whether you're going to do it. It's just, hey, here's what I'd like to do, and we'd like to sell it.
And here's why.
Right. You buy and, in. Yeah. And you, yeah, you get buy-in. Now, if for whatever reason employees don't want to do it, you might try again.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, I don't know what y'all are, but we're going to do this.
Yeah. And this that's kind of where we are.
It won't be as effective possibly. Because you know it's just being forced, but it's like we got to do this, you know.
But here's all the reasons why. Yep. And Mexico, you know, the thing is when they did the Remain in Mexico, we paid Mexico to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be fair. We paid Mexico millions and millions or billions of dollars or whatever to do that. Billions. I'm okay with it. Let's supplement their army and let their army handle part of this. I don't mind. So yeah, we're sending weapons and stuff to Ukraine. We're sending weapons and stuff to Israel. We're sending stuff to the Pacific. Why aren't we supporting the Mexican army? Mexican people as a whole, the Mexican people are very good people. They don't want this crap in their country either.
No.
So why aren't we helping them? Why is nobody in Congress, the president, nobody's talking about helping the Mexican people, helping the Mexican military, helping the Mexican government solve this problem?
Well, the attitude needs to be lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way.
Exactly.
You know, either you're going to help us or you're not going to help us. If you don't want to help us, that's fine. We're going to do it anyway. I really think ultimately, if there's going to be an ultimate solution to the ultimate problem, it's going to involve military intervention.
I agree.
On some level.
I think it's going to have to.
But, you know, again, going back to the discussion about deportations, before you can even start to have a really meaningful discussion on deportations, you've got to physically fix the border, and you've got to secure it. Okay, I don't care about the argument that, you know, walls and fences can be breached. Yes, they can. But guess what? It's going to slow people down.
Yeah.
You know, you fence your backyard in. Why do you fence your backyard in?
Why do you have a front door in your house?
Exactly.
If it doesn't matter, why just leave your door unlocked or no door at all?
Exactly. But you fence your backyard in, you know, to keep your kids and your pets in, but also to keep other people out.
You know
out.
What's sad?
I mean, come on.
You know what's sad? And it's inherent in what we're talking about, but isn't it sad that this is such common sense? I mean, it is, it is the most basic. It's like, you should brush your teeth, and here's how we need to undo and refit.
Yeah, exactly.
You've let the thing, you've not only that, you've force-fed, letting your teeth rot. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't understand. It's just, it's such a basic concept.
Yeah, if walls and fences don't work, just put a big sign on Fort Knox that says, don't come in here unless you're authorized.
Yeah.
Just keep the doors open. Fort Knox, where all the gold is or whatever it is, or supposedly, wink, wink. This is what I'm saying, or the military, or Shepherd Air Force Base.
Can you just,
if they just put a sign up there and said, hey, unless you're supposed to be here, don't be here. Take all the fencing down. Do you think that's going to work?
Yeah, the nuclear weapons, you know, if we can, I can confirm nor deny the presence of nuclear weapons. Anyway, but yeah, just leave them open.
Some guy's going to bust in the door in here a second and shoot tear in the head.
Just please don't, you know, get in the way of our airplanes on the, why do we have a fence to keep people out of the airport?
Yeah.
You know, and why do we have security going through the security? I mean, it's
the most basic thing.
Yeah,
you're right.
Which, speaking of fences, I don't know if you've been by the base lately, but they're spending an awful lot of money to build a really nice metal fence around the perimeter fence, the chain link and the barbed wire. So now there's like this pathway between the two fence lines.
Right.
Where is this at?
I haven't been out there in a while. Along 240.
Which is
along Highway 240.
That's
the Burke Road.
They're adding another layer.
So now you've got the interior perimeter fence and an exterior perimeter fence, and you've got these shrubs in between and kind of a pathway in between them. And nice.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You know, glad we could pay for that. So anyway.
Well, cool.
I think we're about done on time.
We're about done on time here. We're going to wrap it up there. We will be back with another episode very soon of Get It Right Tech Summit with the trio, Mike, Terry, and Trey. And until then, be sure, and if you would, you know, do business locally here. Those of you watching locally, Eddie Hill's Fun Cycles at 401 North Scott, Mac Tech Solutions at 4020 Ray Road here in Wichita Falls, Suite 3B, and online, LP Suite, Lolly and Pop Suite Shop, lpsuite.com, and hopefully a brick-and-mortar location coming very soon as well. for that. So until next time, guys, we'll see you back soon with another episode of Get It Right Texoma. Until then, we will see you down the road. Take care.